The Sheriff of the Jason Rand Show brought to you by Farrah.com. There is a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? The homelessness crisis.
The story is not surprising to me at all. In fact, I feel like I might have said this yesterday or 2 days ago or through whatever we last talked about this. This is idea that Tacoma is considering new policies that reasonable people will look at and say, this is good. It's essentially saying, we don't want people living in tents. We want them in shelters. And when they're hanging out in tents in parks, they could potentially pose a risk because we don't know who's living in these tents. We don't know what they're doing in those tents. Cops actually can't simply go into the tents without a search warrant. So let's come up with this policy that says no more tents allowed in our parks. And I said it at the time, of course, you're going to have the activist class out there completely going nuts because they look at something like this and they say it lacks compassion to tell people not to sleep in tents in a park. They point to homeless people like this talking with the Tacoma News Tribune.
It's going to put a lot of people into a lot of more dangerous situations. I've seen it. I was just down on I Street and I is getting pretty bad. And I couldn't handle it, fighting every night and yelling and cussing. I just couldn't handle it. But I didn't realize we were going to be shoved around like we did, but they left us alone.
Oh, okay. So you're acknowledging it's not safe or healthy to live out on the streets. I agree with you. We just built a bridge there. He and I agree completely. I don't want him to be shoved around from spot to spot to spot. I want him in a shelter, and we have shelters available all across the state. We have shelters available all across the state. We can get you into bed today. You contact any of the Union Gospel Missions. They will get you in a bed today. But unfortunately, there are a lot of people who want to make it easier for him to sleep out on the street. And every single day he's out on the street, that individual, is another day that he's further away from getting on the right path to fixing the situation he currently finds himself in. Now, camping overnight is already against the park code, not really enforced. So this would go one step further than that. Now, according to Maureen Howard, she says a reasonable person would find the ordinance as a way to force people out of parks. Yes. That's true. Not just people who are living in tents. Little bit of a difference. Maureen is a homeless advocate with the Tacoma Pierce County Homeless Coalition. She spoke to the News Tribune. And then you've got another person saying, we don't have an answer to the question of where can I stay, but we're going to tell them you can't stay here. Our priorities need to be on answering the first question. That, according to Hilltop resident Greg Walker, member of the Tacoma Pierce County Homeless Coalition. Greg, there are places for folks to live. Right now, there are beds available. But how about this? Why don't you, because you're a hero, Greg, why don't you let a homeless person sleep in your home? That guy that we just played a clip of seems nice. Seems like a nice guy. Why don't you just let him sleep in your home? Or maybe in your backyard? Now, a normal, reasonable person would say, you know what, I'm compassionate, but I don't think it's necessarily safe to have some stranger, someone I have no connection with whatsoever, who I don't know anything about, to just live in my home. I've got kids. I've got a wife. I've got a husband. I've got a grandparent who's there. You know what my response to that would be? You're right to make that decision. It's not safe. You know what's also not safe? Letting people live in tents in parks where kids are. That seems also kind of unsafe. Now, I suppose if you live in Tacoma and this is something that you're very passionate about, thank you for being so passionate. If you think kids should not be able to enjoy a safe experience at the park, you should fight this ordinance as hard as you possibly can. If you don't care about the kids' safety or the safety of anybody who's using these parks, you should just let anybody sleep in tents. Or, go with me for a second, if you actually care about the people who use parks, not just the children and their parents, but also the people living in tents, maybe you should be fighting hard to make sure this ordinance actually passes so we can get these people down the path to sufficiency. Shocking, I know. Controversial. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? national.
So there was some leaked audio from President Trump speaking with folks about the whistleblower, and some are pretending that he was calling for the whistleblower to be executed.
But basically, that person never saw the report, never saw the call, and he never saw the call, heard something, and decided that he or she, whoever the hell it is, sort of like almost a spy. I want to know who's the person that gave the whistleblower. Who's the person that gave the whistleblower the information? Because that's close to a spy. You know what we used to do in the old days when we were smart, right? The spies and treasonous. We used to handle it a little differently than we do now.
Did you hear that in the background? People laugh. You know why? Because it was a joke. That's called hyperbole. He was very clearly making a joke. You can tell it from his tone. You can tell it from the reaction of the audience. But if you're a total hack who's trying to gain some traction in a presidential campaign, like Senator Amy Klobuchar, you will pretend that he's being serious.
Well, he's basically there threatening execution.
Oh, my God.
He is calling someone that works for him and the whistleblower a spy, right? And in fact...
No, just real quick. He didn't say they were a spy. He said that they're like a spy. A little bit of a difference.
All of this makes sense to me. He has a very disturbing conversation about getting dirt, one of his opponents, for the 2020 election.
No. That's not what that call did. He did not say, hey, got some dirt? Can you get me some? That's not at all what was in that call. These people are making these statements knowing that most people won't actually read the transcript. She's hoping that her base is stupid.
And then, of course, someone that heard about it talks to a trusted CIA agent who has, this is the news reports, has expertise on Ukraine, and that's how he finds it. This is legitimate discussions between security people who are involved that care about our country. So what happens then is whoever in the White House maybe didn't predict the CIA agent would do this. And again, this is just reports that he's a CIA agent. And he then files a whistleblower complaint. I don't see anything wrong with that, in that they were having a discussion of concern about national security.
But it is kind of interesting because the whistleblower, the Federalist, reported this about an hour and a half, 2 hours ago, that the whistleblower complaint system that it would go through, like kind of on the DL, decided to change their policy to allow secondhand reports rather than direct reports for these kinds of whistleblower complaints. But in any case, again, what was the big takeaway from Amy Klobuchar?
Well, he's basically there threatening execution.
Okay, he's threatening execution. That is now a talking point. What say you, Congressman Denny Heck on CNN, Congressman from Tacoma, Democrat?
Well, it was witness intimidation at a minimum. Poppy, let's remember that the president has precisely four plays in his playbook. I think I've talked with you about this before. He doesn't have five, he doesn't have three.
We know how to count, man. I mean, I got it. I know what four is. One, two, three, four. You know what four isn't? Five. It's not three either. It's not two or one. It's not six, seven, or eight. It's just four, but continue.
It is deny, attack, play the victim, and change the subject outrageously. And this is an example where he employed both number two and number four. Nobody believes that he is seriously intending to actually execute anybody, but
what
he's trying to do is intimidate people and change the subject.
I'm sorry. I wasn't paying that close of attention. Can you replay that one clip?
Nobody believes that he is seriously intending to actually execute anybody.
Well, he's basically there threatening execution.
Nobody believes that he is seriously intending to actually execute anybody.
Well, he's basically there threatening execution.
Okay. I was just double checking. I just want to make sure I'm on the same page.
Well, they're not.
It's kind of confusing. But we can be on the same page, like normal human beings can, but they're not. Because they're so desperate to go after the president, they're not even getting their story straight. And that's why so many people like Ted Cruz are coming out and saying, like, what the hell is going on here? He was on with Fox.
Washington is always a circus, but this is three rings with all the clowns and...
Not four rings. Not two rings. But three.
And it's nuts right now. And it's driven at the end of the day. Congressional Democrats are angry. They're angry about the 2016 election. And ultimately, they're angry at the voters. They're angry that the voters elected President Trump. All of this from day one. From day one, they have been wanting to get this president out of office. And as a result, they're not doing their job. They're not actually interested in legislating. They're not actually interested in working together to produce more jobs and raise wages and expand opportunity. It's just about attacking the president.
Here's just a real quick point, and then we'll go to traffic. So we've been hearing that President Trump was doing this whole quid pro quo thing, that if you don't give me dirt on Joe Biden, which, by the way, again, he didn't actually ask for, if you don't give me the dirt that I'm not actually asking for on Joe Biden, I'm not going to give you some crucial military aid that you absolutely need, right? That was what we heard. New York Times, just a couple hours ago, put out a note via Ken Vogel, their reporter. The Ukrainians weren't made aware that the assistance was being delayed or reviewed until more than 1 month after the phone call. That's kind of bad, right? That kind of goes into not having any quid pro quo. Oh, it gets even worse. Chris Murphy, the senator from Connecticut, is at least being clear about the conversations he's had with the Ukrainian president.
In my meeting, to be clear, Zelensky did not make any connection between the aid that had been cut off and the requests that he was getting from Giuliani. But
just real quick, because yesterday Adam Schiff said that this is the classic kind of mafia shakedown. In that parody script that he read, the essence, in other words, of the Ukrainian transcript, you said yesterday that I'm going to tell you 7 or 8 times that you better give me the dirt or you're not going to get any of the military aid. Chris Murphy says that's not true. That's a Democrat. The New York Times says, no, that didn't actually happen. Kind of feels like this whole political bit of theater is crumbling. Wow. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text on the Numb Better Tax Resolution Hotline. 1-800-465-8770. Don't forget, download the KTH smartphone app. You can listen to the station wherever it is you are. If you've got any signal strength issues, just listen to us on the app. Text the keyword app to 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in Tacoma?
Seahawks are headed to Arizona to take on a struggling team, hopefully at the right time for the Seahawks after not so great start to the season. Joining us in studio to help preview this weekend's matchup, Bob Stelton, 710 ESPN Seattle. Is it fair to say that, yes, they're 2-1, it's not the worst place to be at this point, but the wins were not all that great, and the loss came at a time that probably it shouldn't have?
Yeah, I mean, you can qualify them, but at this point last...
A win is a win is a win, yeah.
Well, they were 1-2 at this point last year, and then they moved to 500, then they lost and were below 500, and they made the playoffs. So I think at the end of the day, you got to look at what's the end result. They won. They looked like they were dominated by Cincinnati on the stat sheet. They won the game. Pittsburgh wasn't pretty. You won the game. This is a game that everybody felt like they should win, and I told you last week, man, this is going to be a lot tougher than people are saying. The Saints are a Super Bowl team. They should have been in the Super Bowl last year, if not for that horrible officiating play that led to all these changes. Yeah. So this is, even without Drew Brees, a very good team, and they had the best backup in the league in Teddy Bridgewater, who did a great job of not screwing things up. He wasn't electric, but he didn't do anything wrong.
He did enough that he needed to do.
He needed to go out there and play mistake-free, which is what he did. So, yeah, I mean, this is a game in Arizona that... You know, you just match up the teams. You go, well, the Seahawks are a better team, and they should win, and I think they will win. But this is a place where weird things have happened. It's just been an unlucky place for them. They've tied their chip shot field goal from Hauschka, who at the time was as consistent as it gets, bounces one off the upright, and they end up tying. You've had some big injuries there. That's where Marshawn flipped off the sideline. That's where Earl got hurt, flipped off the sideline. It's been a weird place.
So we should expect some flip-offs this weekend.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think there's that personality on this team yet. But if something weird happened, you'd kind of go, yeah, makes sense. It's just where it happens, regardless of how good or bad the Cardinals have been. It's, you know, division rivals are tough. Rams gave the Seahawks problems for years when the Rams were garbage. It's just the nature of the league and playing teams in your division. It's always tougher than it says it should be on paper.
Well, then what do the Seahawks have to do?
They just got to play a more fundamentally solid game. And you could point to last week and say, well, you failed across the board. Your offensive line was bad. Your defense was bad. Your special teams were bad. Nobody could tackle. You had ill-timed penalties. I mean, basically anything you could have screwed up, they did. Play calling, clock management, everything. If they just...
It really was an awful game.
It was. I mean, it was just at every turn there was a mistake made, whether it was on the field or on the sidelines by the coaches. So you just look at this and say... Against a team like this with a rookie quarterback who's shown promise, but he's still a rookie quarterback in Kyler Murray, if you just play a solid fundamental game, then you should walk out of there with a win. I don't expect them to go out there and to blow the doors off them because they just haven't proven to be that kind of team yet. But I expect them to go in there and just, again, stick to the fundamentals. You don't have to be electric. And if you just play solid, mistake-free football, you should get a comfortable win.
So Seahawks take on the Cardinals this weekend. Before we let you go, the big sports news of this era for the Mariners happened last night.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about how right I was about the soccer match last week.
You were wrong about the Sounders match. You said that
didn't I say they were going to lose 2-0?
No, you said they were going to win 2-0, and they lost 2-0.
My bad.
So let's talk about last night, because you were a grown man who cried, like many grown men who cried last night.
Yeah, yeah. Felix Hernandez, his farewell to... his farewell to the Seattle Mariner fan base was really emotional, much more than I thought. And, you know, it was very cool to see the stands packed with everybody in their yellow shirts, yep, and see his emotion, which started before the game ever started. And to see him sobbing coming off the field, it was just, it got to me in a way that I didn't think it would. Because he's meant a ton to this organization, despite who he's sort of become as a pitcher over the last three seasons. He's an icon in Mariner history, and it's interesting, and it was just surreal to watch this guy you watched as a teenager at the big league level. Now you're looking
at 19?
Yeah, he was drafted when he was 16, started as a teenager in the big leagues at 19, and now you're going, wow, in the blink of an eye, it's done. And he's done here. Mm-hmm. I don't know. He says he's not going to retire. He's, you know, which will be weird to see him in another uniform. Maybe we'll see what happens with him. But yeah, it was a very cool night, but sad at the same time.
End of an era at T-Mobile Park. Thank you so much for stopping by, Bob Stelton. Well, you've still cried. Wipe the tears from your face. It's
Leave me alone, man.
I just can't help it. You're listening to the Jason Rancho. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Foodie edition.
So now we've got McDonald's testing the market with a new vegetarian monstrosity. The PLT, which, by the way, does not make sense. The P stands for plant. So it's plant, lettuce, and tomato.
Well, is the patty made of just like straight up plants?
Well, no, it's made of the Beyond Meat. But like lettuce, well, is a plant.
They can't go like, I guess, yeah, that's right. And so is a tomato. So it's a PPP.
It's a plant.
It's a PPP.
Just say it's something that's really gross, but you're going to think it's good for you, but it's really not. They announced that they're going to be running this pilot to see whether or not this is going to work in a 12-week time period. It's going to be at 28 select locations in southern Ontario, Canada. I don't know why they chose to have Ontario, Canada as a spot. It seems weird that our Canadians... Like, is their taste in burgers or vegetarian options the same as it would be in the United States?
No, they just might be our test dummies.
You think that's what it is?
Yeah.
But then how do you determine whether or not they're going to sell it here?
See, if it booms in Canada?
Yeah, sure. But I'm saying, so if it booms there, then it comes here. But I'm just saying, do things that work really well there work here? Because you know what does really well there is poutine, but we don't have it here. Not really. Not the way that they have it there. That's all I'm saying. It just seems like this is kind of weird. They say we've been working on our recipe, and now we're ready to hear feedback from our customers. That's Ann Walgren, Vice President of Global Menu Strategy. This test allows us to learn more about real-world implications of serving the PLT, including customer demand and impact on restaurant operations. The suggested price will be a little bit under $5 U.S. So, first of all, ew. Second of all, oh my God, ew. Third, it's not healthy for you. People seem to think because it's vegetarian that it's healthy. There's something, I can't remember if it was the Impossible Burger or this specific one, the Beyond Meat Burger. Something like 21 different...
Impossible.
It was about 21 different ingredients in it. That's not good. And you know what's in one beef patty? Beef, and then you throw some salt on it, seasoning.
Well, and to your point, let's go four. It's not even on the dollar menu. Make it a dollar so that I want to go get it. I'm not going to pay $5 for this.
But see, they're smart to spend. First of all, it's expensive. It's not cheap to get this stuff. I think it's smart because they think they're going to make more money off this idea that it's healthier for you. And so, oh, you know, I've been wanting to cut out some of my meat, but I don't want to give up the taste of a burger. Because apparently, I mean, it looks just like a quarter pounder. So arguably, my guess is they're trying to make it taste like a quarter pounder. And maybe it does. I'm just saying it's not all that healthy for you.
Give me back the McRib. That's all I care about.
Ugh. Can you imagine if they did that version of the vegan McRib?
That sounds awful.
McPlant.
Sounds like just a chewy piece of rubber.
It'd be tofu covered in barbecue sauce, is my guess. But not just tofu. It'd be covered in a whole bunch of other crap.
Yeah, like 22 ingredients of stuff.
I will say this. The one thing that I enjoy when I go overseas. Did I tell you I go to Europe a lot? Because I'm a high-paid afternoon talk show host.
Once or twice you've mentioned that.
So when I go there, I always, always, always will at least stop into a McDonald's. Just because I want to see what their menu is. Because menus in Europe, and depending on where you go, are dramatically different from the United States.
Do they have the Royale with cheese?
They do have the Royale. That's what I saw when I was in Paris. I've been to Paris.
Oh, wow. You haven't mentioned that like six
Amsterdam,
times. You've only mentioned
Barcelona.
It five.
Right. I go in London. I go a lot because I get paid millions of dollars.
Wow, you're so amazing, Jason.
It's hard to believe why people don't swipe right with me on Tinder because I'm a multimillionaire.
Yeah, I know.
It's insane.
Bellingham, Bellevue, Shoreline, Tacoma.
This is The Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Olympia, Everett, Mercer Island.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Oh, it's my favorite time of day. 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. Means it's time for The Big Local, brought to you by Sean Keller Smiles by Design. The Big Local allows me to completely ignore the city of Seattle and instead spend all of my time talking about the communities that you live in, that you care about most. And we start in Kent, where police have broken up a theft ring where homeless people stole merchandise worth thousands and thousands of dollars from the Lowe's store over there.
People running across the street from Lowe's and armfuls of stuff.
According to Cairo 7 TV, it's been happening pretty much weekly. The homeless suspects live in the woods behind the Lowe's store on Pacific Highway South near 240th Street.
They'll take the tools out of the tool chest and everything, and they'll leave the chests here.
That's a witness talking with Cairo 7 TV, and what they're stealing are the big ticket items. Like the stuff that's actually worth something. These are stolen goods that Cairo 7 TV says were either traded or listed for sale on the online marketplace OfferUp. Quick question, and then we'll get back into the story. When you buy something on OfferUp or Craigslist or whatever, and then they tell you to meet them in the wooded area next to a freeway, and then maybe you're like, really? That's where you go? Oh, no, it's totally cool, man. Just come hang out. Then you go there, and it's very apparent that they're homeless. Don't you turn them in, or do you say, oh, well, you know, it's stuff already stolen. It's a great deal. I can get a new barbecue now for $24 or whatever. There's not a red flag from people? Unless maybe there's a homeless community on OfferUp and that's how they barter with each other.
Yeah.
Because if they've got OfferUp already and they're homeless people, then maybe someone else who's homeless is on it.
Don't you think the cops should go on OfferUp at some point and like just go and do these meetups in their free time?
I mean, they probably do some of that stuff. It just seems weird to me that there's no one saying, oh, homeless person's got really expensive gear and I'm buying it literally from their tent encampment in the woods. Maybe I should call 911. Kent detectives identified a 36-year-old man connected with the thefts. He was arrested on other charges. Officers were able to recover 10 stolen weed eaters and actually return them to the store. Meanwhile, apparently, the Lowe's there has been struggling.
They've been hit hard. I am surprised they're still there.
Real quick, what do you think these folks are doing with the money? After they steal those weed whackers and they sell them on OfferUp or they trade, what do you think they're doing with the money? Can I just offer up a thought? It's possible that they're doing in Kent what they're doing here in the city we don't talk about during the segment, which is purchase drugs with it. And remember, people are living out on the street, according to politicians. Oh, it's not really due to drugs or anything. Mental illness, no, none of that. These are just people just like you and me. They're one missed paycheck away from landing out on the streets. Rent just, they, you know what? They raised the rent $30 a month. You know what that person did? End up having to live out on the streets. They're using this money to buy food. Oh, got it. It's weird because you could steal the food. You can even steal some Slim Jims over at the Lowe's. Not necessarily the really expensive big ticket items. Meanwhile, we've learned today that it's going to be at least another week before the water boiling order in North Bend is actually going to end. The Salal Water Association just announced the earliest it expects to have the dangerous E. coli bacteria cleared from their system is actually next Friday or next Saturday. It previously was scheduled for Tuesday. So in the meantime, it's obviously limited the amount of work businesses can do, like Riverbend Cafe owner, Rich Maclis, talking with King 5. He said, look, we are struggling. The businesses here that have to close as a result of this, we're out a lot of money.
How long will a turnaround be? Am I going to be able to remain in business? Across the street, people are having to boil their water. I'm expecting anywhere from $35,000 to $40,000 that I'm going to lose in sales. It's like, what are we going to do? I'm trying to work my way through this. How do we stop this from happening again?
So worst possible news for someone like that. And for anybody who's living in North Bend who's impacted by this, about 5,000 people. The schools there in the district that are serviced by Salal, they also are still in that same position. The story says, in the meantime, it's got limited supplies of bottled water for its customers. How about this? Go down to the store and buy some more. You're putting these people in this position, and maybe it's through no fault of your own. Maybe there's something that happened that you clearly couldn't have known about. Okay, but it's still kind of on you if you're not able to fix this soon enough. Meanwhile, there were some rumblings of possible snow at Mount Rainier's Paradise Peak. It looks like the weekend we'll see some snow after all, though kind of nowhere else.
So we're only expecting snow in the mountains, not down in the lowlands where people live.
Yeah, and it sounds like the snow that we might actually get in the mountains isn't going to be that much. That's according to National Weather Service meteorologist Gary Schneider talking with our sister station, Cairo Radio.
At Stevens Pass, we're going to start seeing a little bit of snow probably this afternoon and evening. I don't know if there'll be much sticking during the day, but maybe overnight tonight you might get a little bit. We're thinking maybe 1 or 2 inches tonight.
Maybe. I feel like if I play this next clip, I think it might be a little bit of a downer for the people who are really excited about the snow, so I'll play it.
There's kind of a few little waves of showers that come and go over the next 2 days, so there'll be off and on chances for snow up there. There's no one big storm, but over the course of the entire weekend, it might pick up a few inches.
Yeah. I don't know why people are so excited about this stuff. I think it just gives people something to talk about. It is fun when it snows in the lowland areas. When it snows in the mountain, I don't care. It's more fun when it snows like where people actually are because it causes so much chaos and there's so much more traffic. You know what that means? Ratings boost!
You what? Yeah?
Because they're stuck in the traffic. In the morning, the commute's longer. I mean, I'd prefer you not get stuck in the traffic, but I like to... people always say, Jason, you're always so positive. You're always such a sunny disposition in the office. You always think about the good things. And so the good thing in getting stuck in the traffic thanks to the snow is in the mornings, you get to listen to Saul Spady a little bit longer. You get to maybe stay in the car up until the Rush Limbaugh show, so you don't even have to get to just constant content. And then in the afternoons, listen in to me.
Wow.
Because people leave early. People leave early.
You are just a ball of sunshine.
I know. Everyone's all like...
It's incredible.
You just are really positive. Renton is considering some RV code changes, more than we've previously talked about earlier in the year. It seems like the Renton Reporter says, under the proposed changes, the city would allow one commercial vehicle exceeding 10,000 pounds per unit, but it would ban semi-trucks, semi-cabs, and tractor-trailers. After the one commercial vehicle, other vehicles would require a temporary use permit, which would be valid up to 5 years. They say the code would also regulate where RVs could be parked on residential property, because, you know what, if you've got a whole bunch of RVs out on the street, it can be a little bit difficult driving through, right? It cuts down the amount of space that you can visualize, that you can actually see. So when you're getting into a, you know, turning into a driveway, you don't necessarily see a human being who might be there. And it's just kind of a nuisance having all of these trucks, these RVs parked on the car. Now, one of the staff recommendations could change the length of time a person could live in an RV on private residential property. Staff recommended it be capped at 7 days without a permit, and after that would require a $100 temporary use permit for 30 days. I love that idea because it gets some of the people who just want to live in their RVs, maybe because they're homeless and they're in a derelict RV. When you have this $100 temporary use permit, after 7 days of living in your vehicle, it kind of makes it more difficult for someone who is experiencing homelessness to just sort of camp out in their derelict RV in your neighborhood in Renton. So I like this idea. Good for them. This is the kind of policy that we should probably be seeing all across Washington State. Anything to stop the derelict RV issues. And you know what? If you've got more than one RV and you think this is outrageous, I don't know what to tell you. How many people could that possibly include? People have multiple RVs. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. 1-800-465-8770. Shout out to Sarah in Yelm. She's a farmer, and her cow or lion, I don't know what animal this is, just gave birth. And I said, you should name the little cow or lion or cheetah or wolf, whatever this animal is that they sent me a photo of right after birth, so it's kind of slimy and gross. You should name it after me, unless you're going to eat it. Like, if you've only had this little cow or whatever to slaughter and then eat, don't name it after me. Name it after Peyton.
I think regardless, it should be named after you. Whether it's a cow for eating or a cow as a pet.
No, a cow is a pet. You call it Jason Rance, you treat that bad boy like a king or a prince. And if it's a girl, gender fluidity, baby, it's still Jason Rance. Brand it with Jason Rance Show, KTTH 3 to 6. Yeah, it'll hurt, but you know what? That pain goes away. You know what lasts forever, or at least until they slaughter this thing and eat it? Free publicity.
Don't brand me, please.
Not you, the cow.
I know, but now...
Is it a cow?
Now I'm concerned. It looks like a cow.
Is it a horse?
I think it's a cow.
It looks like a duck that a cow is nursing or about to eat. 1-800-465-8771. Welcome back to the Jason Rance Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Really do appreciate it. Tomorrow, there's a rally in support of ICE at the Federal Detention Center in Tacoma. It's going to get going at 10 a.m. tomorrow. It's going to last about an hour. It's an event that I'm going to cover but not participate in, so I'm there because I kind of want to see how everything goes along. There might be Antifa members there, so we'll see how it is. Michelle Malkin is the organizer, a friend of mine, a friend of the show, who is coming here because she realizes what's going on in this state. You've seen what's been happening thanks to the Democrats having control in Olympia, making this a sanctuary state, meaning the local governments, whether we're talking about the Tacoma the Pierce County Sheriff's Office or the King County Sheriff's Office or Everett PD or Bellevue PD, according to the sanctuary policy of the state, they really can't do anything, use any of their funding to help enforce illegal immigration. And what that means is when you've got a bad guy who did something bad, who has been convicted, say, for raping a woman in a wheelchair, and they realize that this person is here illegally, they're not allowed to go ahead and tell ICE, hey, FYI, we've got someone here who's in this country illegally, you should come get them. They also can't be put in a position by saying yes to requests for detainers, meaning someone from an ICE office in Washington State sends down a note to the prison system, oh, we hear you're about to let a illegal immigrant go after he was punished for attempted murder or rape or assault. Can you hang on to him just for a day or two? Because we got to get all our ducks in a row. We want to send some agents down there so we can actually get control of this person, bring them to this detention center, and then hopefully deport them. Now, Lisa Wellman, state senator from Mercer Island, Democrat, of course, she is a supporter of the sanctuary state policy that she helped pass. And our colleague, Aaron Granillo, had the opportunity yesterday to talk with her and listen to how she answers these questions, because it's a very disingenuous way to pretend you hold a position that you pretty much don't.
Just generally speaking here, if somebody is in this country illegally, they are undocumented, and they do commit violent crimes, felonies, should they be allowed to stay here?
Well, as I just said, we had a case where it wasn't even a felony. This was a case where it was a murder.
Uh-huh.
This was terrible.
Yes.
This was a person who came into the country legally and then was here illegally. What I'm telling you is that we didn't even know this person. How would we know this person was in the country? The feds are the only person, the only agent.
She says that, by the way, giving off the impression that she wishes she could have found out if this person was in this country illegally. And yet, police departments in this state aren't permitted to ask people about their status, their citizenship status in this country. And I believe she's one of those supporters who doesn't want that question asked. And yet she says, how would we even know if this person was here illegally? I mean, we could ask. Oh, but then you can't do that.
That really knows this person is walking around. And we wouldn't have a way of tracking them.
So, should that person...
I'm not saying that somebody who commits a crime should remain in this country, no.
Okay, but you'll do absolutely nothing to help facilitate ICE in kicking these people out of this country. This is where the racism of this plays in. I do not treat all illegal immigrants equally. I'm open about that. If the only crime you committed was coming into this country illegally, I don't want to just automatically deport you. I don't really want to deport you at all. If you're someone who's actually contributing to society, if we're talking about especially like DACA students whose only culture they understand is this one, speaking only English, only knowing our communities, I don't want to deport them. I treat them a little bit differently than I do someone who is a rapist or a murderer or someone who assaults people or someone who steals stuff. I don't think they're the same. I want to go after the bad elements, the people who are in this country illegally and then decide to commit heinous crimes. Not speeding tickets, but heinous crimes. I want to deport them. There's a very easy way to show compassion towards folks who are in this country illegally, sometimes through no fault of their own. Again, kids brought here. There's a way to treat them honestly and compassionately, which I support. While also, I know this is crazy to folks like Lisa Wellman and other Democrats here in Washington State, while also making it very clear that we will do everything humanly possible to deport you if you have no respect for our laws once you're in this country illegally. I don't find that to be controversial. Democrats do. And they'll tell you in one breath that they really want to make sure that the bad elements aren't here, while also then saying they won't lift a finger to help ICE do that job. It is abject hypocrisy. They're talking out of both sides of their mouths. 1-800-465-877 if you want to join me in sending in a text to be a part of this conversation. If you want to join me tomorrow at this event that I will be covering, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/JasonRantzShow. We've got the information there. It's on a Facebook invite. Just scroll down a little bit. Text the keyword Facebook to 1-800-465-877. I'll send you a link to my page so you can just click on it and go there. Text Facebook to 1-800-465-8770. It's the Jason Rantz Show.